If you have your Bible, would you join me once your hands are free and making this confession? The words will be on the screen. If you need those, I'd like to invite you just to, if you believe it, let's just confess it together. Ready? I believe that you do, and that's why you do. I know many of you probably could, you've learned it by now and don't even need the words, and that's great, but we want to live it out. And so those of you joining online as well, join us and make this confession. If you like, please join us as well. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You sound great. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Lord, help me to faithfully represent you and speak words that accomplish your will for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. But as God is faithful, The word faithful here means trustworthy and reliable. So he's saying, as God is trustworthy, as God is reliable, as he is faithful, and you can count on him, he says, he goes on, he writes, our word to you was not yes and no. We didn't say one thing and mean something else. We weren't wishy-washy. We weren't up and down. He said, just as God is faithful, we came to you when we proclaimed a faithful gospel. And verse 19 says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that means Jesus the Messiah, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Verse 20, for all the promises of God, all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Christ amen to the glory of God. The message this morning is very simple. God is faithful. God is faithful. Would you say that with me? God is faithful. Again, faithful means that he's reliable. God is trustworthy. And as he said that as God is faithful, that's the way our word was to you, because we were just bringing God's word to you and all of the promises of God that are in Christ. That's why I want to encourage you whenever you have a need to look to the scripture and look to the Holy Spirit to guide you of claiming a promise of God for that need, because God has promises available for us. And it's fine to let the Lord, the Bible tells us we're to let him know our requests. That's great. And thank God he answers many of our requests, but we can count on his promises. Because he is faithful. God is faithful. And he says there in verse 20, would you read this with me off the screen? I'm reading from the New King James, that way we'll be on the same translation. Would you read verse 20 out loud with me? Ready? For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. God is reliable. God is trustworthy. Amen. It literally means truth. And I know it sometimes has the idea of people say, so be it. And that's accurate, and that's fine. But it literally means truth. It's an expression of certainty. So if I read God is faithful from the Word of God, and you said amen, you would basically be saying, that's the truth. That's certain. That's for sure. You could count on it. So if God is faithful, amen. Yes, he is. And so all of God's promises are yes, and we say that's true. We say that's certain. We say amen, and it gives God glory. Would you give him a good amen? God is faithful. So we thank God for that. God is faithful to his nature. He cannot be anyone but who he is. God is faithful to his nature, and God is faithful to his word. You can count on it. The Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. So he is faithful to his nature and faithful to his word. Let me give you just a couple of verses here from Romans chapter 10. I'll read them to you if you want to write them down. I always want to make sure that whenever we come together, someone may only be here one time. Someone may be listening or joining sometime online, whether it's live or off the website. I want to always make sure that you have a chance to hear the gospel and have a chance to know God as your Father and have your sins forgiven. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 10, because as God is faithful to his word, we receive the blessings of God's word by doing his word. So if we want to get in on all those promises, we do what God says, and then the promises are ours. We claim them. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, he says, but what does it say? Speaking of the scripture, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if we believe in our heart, if God's Holy Spirit draws us, and that's so important, it has to be the drawing of God's Holy Spirit. Salvation is a supernatural work. I have a little bit of heaviness in my heart for those who think they're Christian, but they've never had that experience of knowing God from their heart. The Bible specifically says it has to be from our heart. So it's not just, I believe there's God, or just mouthing a prayer. It's God's Spirit drawing us and us responding to his drawing to say, yes, I know I've sinned, but I know God loved me and sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, and I believe in my heart, and I confess him as my Lord. And when we do that, God is faithful to save us. God is faithful to forgive us of our sins, make us righteous, and indwell us with his Holy Spirit. Then every promise becomes ours. I like to say it like this. Whenever we're outside of Christ, I use the Bible as Christ. Here we are, and God's Spirit draws us, and we believe in and confess Jesus as Lord. Then we're in Christ, and his Spirit is in us. So when the Father looks at us, what does he see? He sees his Son, that we've been in Christ, and we're covered by the blood. And all that Jesus did, God the Father credits to our account, because he took all of our sins at the cross. So that's how he can say we died with Christ, we were raised with Christ, and we're going to be glorified with Christ. God speaks of it as an accomplished fact because he's already seen it. We just have to live it out in time. So thank God for his precious promises. And I just wanted to give three today of three practical and specific ways of how God is faithful. So if you're there in 2 Corinthians, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and certainly God is faithful in more than one ways and on more than three ways and more than three occasions. But I just like to share these in the time we have this morning. God is faithful. While you're turning there, 1 Corinthians 10, I would just like to ask, and you just think about this. Have you ever had a need, and in that need, you look to the Lord, and God showed you that he was faithful? Many of us could say, I can think of more than one time that God was faithful to me in my time of need. And I wanted to say that because God was faithful in the past, he's faithful today, and he'll be faithful forever. And maybe someone is a new Christian, this is a new experience. If you keep walking with the Lord, you will find out too that God is faithful to you, because God is faithful to his nature and to his word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says this: no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, we're going to have temptations in this life. That's just a reality. But God says he is faithful to his own, and he will provide. There's the temptation comes, and he says he will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear or endure it. They're both The way to escape is the way to endure many times. And you say, well, Brother Rocky, I can't always escape. I wish I could get away from these people. Wish I could get away from this situation. I know. We'll address that in just a second. Let me give you a little context here, okay? Because God gives us the example of Israel before he gives us this promise in chapter 10, beginning in verse 6. He says this, chapter 10, verse 6. It says, now these things became our examples. So he says, this is the things that I'm getting ready to say are examples. And then he says in verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Notice verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you. So these specific sins that are mentioned in this context are evil desires, idolatry, immorality, putting Christ to the test, and complaining and pride. And the Lord says, God is faithful. He would have provided a way out for Israel. They just didn't take advantage. And God is faithful, and he provides a way out for us. Because with every temptation, God is faithful to make a way of escape. But here is, I think, a good truth that I'm learning. Sometimes the way out is up. And if you can't get out of that situation, and maybe it's not that it's just tempting to sin, maybe it's just troublesome for you, and it's trying. We can't escape every trial. We can't escape every difficulty. We can't escape every problem. We can't escape every unkind person. But let's not try to endure what God says escape, because that is the way. Don't try to endure. Don't subject yourself to temptation to sin, thinking, well, I'm just going to try to, no. That's one way to fall. So the way out is up. Every temptation can be an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord. Every temptation can be an opportunity to confess his word, just like Jesus gave us his example. So every opportunity can be temptation can be an opportunity to grow and experience God's faithfulness in that way. So to grow closer to the Lord, to believe his promises and confess his word. That's why it says in verse 14, keep it along with the same line. He says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Would you say flee? If you want to write this verse down, and then we'll give you the second point. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See how it's important context of fellowship with there with other believers? So God is faithful with every temptation. If we will believe him, we can look for the way out and we can take it. Whether that's physically distancing ourselves or maybe just spiritually getting closer to the Lord, but the Lord is the key to our victory. God is faithful. Now would you turn over a few books toward the end of your Bible in 1 Peter chapter 4. So God is faithful when we're tempted to make a way of escape. God is faithful when we're tempted to make a way of escape. And then we'll see how God is faithful when we suffer. 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, I'll read a few verses, but I want to center on one, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God, that's important, commit their souls or entrust their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So God is faithful to make a way of escape. And then secondly here, God is faithful to keep and bless us. I'll show you that. I'll give you the context for it. God is faithful to make a way of escape, and God is faithful to keep and bless us. That's why we can commit ourselves. That's why we can entrust ourselves to him as a faithful and powerful creator. It stood out to me this week as I was preparing that it didn't just say Father or God or Lord, but a creator, all-powerful creator. We can entrust ourselves to him and continue to do good. This suffering here is for doing good and right before God. If you back up to verse 14, you'll get a little context of it. 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Jesus, remember what he said? If we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, we're blessed. So there is a blessing that comes if we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. There is a greater measure of God's Spirit that we can experience if we suffer for what is for doing what is right before God. And so he says, some translations actually say, the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. So a greater measure of God's Spirit on us when we suffer for what's doing right. Then the Bible says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Wow. That's keeping good company, isn't it? Murder, stealing, evildoer, or a busybody. Y'all know what that is, a busybody? Somebody who meddles in someone else's. I try to look at it like this. I got enough of my own mess. I don't need to stick my nose in somebody else's business that does not concern me, because I keep my own self busy. And if I don't have to get into it, I don't need to. Now, sometimes people come to me with issues for prayer, and that's understandable. But even then, it's for prayer. I don't need to go beyond the boundaries of what the Lord would have for me. So he says, don't do it. Don't suffer for that. But verse 16 says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, that's okay. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Thank God. Think about this a moment, please. In what ways do committed Christians suffer today? I said committed Christians. For some, it could be they're shunned. They're not invited to certain gatherings. Maybe for some, just ridicule. You know, they're kind of mocked and made fun of. A high school football coach can be fired from his job because he goes out on the football field after a game and kneels down and prays. We can experience lawsuits. Some have lost jobs, employment, income, opportunities because of their Christian faith, not because they were just being mean or not doing their job. They've been doing it for years. But when we suffer that way, God is still faithful. That's important to keep in mind. We're not alone. God is faithful. That's why he says here in verse 14 that you're blessed, that God is faithful. If we suffer for doing what's right, God will not only bless us, but then verse 19 comes back and says he will keep us. And so our part is just to keep doing what the Lord calls us to do. When we suffer for being faithful to Jesus and obeying God's word, we can entrust ourselves to a powerful and loving Creator and keep doing what is right before God, because God is faithful to keep us and bless us not only in this life, but to keep us and bless us for all eternity in the life to come. God is faithful. Would you say that with me? God is faithful. And then one more, 1 John chapter 1. Would you turn there with me? 1 John, just over a page or so, chapter 1. God is faithful to make a way of escape when we're tempted. God is faithful to keep us and bless us when we suffer for doing right. And God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us when we confess our sins. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God is faithful to make a way of escape. He's faithful to keep us and bless us, and God is faithful to forgive and cleanse us. The word confess means to admit or to agree. when we become Christians, that's basically when we first admit that we've sinned. We agree with the Lord. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, I need a Savior. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, confess every sin you've ever committed in your life before you become a Christian. That's not how it works, thank God. And the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. So that first coming into the family of God is we confess that we have sinned. We agree with God that the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice cleanses from all sin. But when we sin as a Christian, I didn't say if. When we sin as a Christian, it is important to quickly confess. Notice what he says here in that verse. If we, now in other places in this letter, he says, if a man say, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So when we sin as a Christian, it's important to quickly confess it. In other words, quickly agree with God, quickly admit it. I'm not blaming. I'm not making excuses. I acknowledge I sinned. And then we have the assurance, because God is faithful, to not only forgive that sin, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's how we keep the line of fellowship unbroken. And that's how we keep walking in the light of fellowship with him. Because we have it, we admit it, we quickly make it right, and we receive God's forgiveness. That's important. We receive God's forgiveness, and we keep on and thank him for it. Thank God Jesus died to pay for that sin. See, God, it says he's faithful and just. God doesn't sweep sin under the carpet. He doesn't overlook sin. He's just because he punished every sin on his son at the cross. The sin has already been punished, and so the price has been paid. Thank God the sentence was executed, the bill was paid in full, and God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess it before him. And we keep the fellowship going, and thank God that he is faithful. He punished all sin on Jesus at the cross, and we just continue to walk in the light. God is faithful. He's faithful to himself. He doesn't change. He's faithful to his word. His word is forever settled in heaven. It changes not. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We can count on God, and we can count on his word. And if we will do what the word says, every promise, if you get saved today, every promise of God in Christ is yours. You don't have to wait a certain level or anything. Every promise of God in Christ is yes to you. And you can say amen to the glory of God. That's true. He's faithful, that's for sure. And we can have that kind of confidence. And I admit, it's like God is, as much as years I've known these verses, it seems fresh to me right now. I want to walk in just that greater victory of realizing, oh, I'm tempted here to mouth off. I'm tempted here to whatever it may be. All right, I'm going to trust God's faithfulness. He's faithful. Lord, where is my way of escape? Where is my way of escape? Oh, it's right now just to you. Yes, Lord, I need you. Help me, Jesus. That's a good Lord. Lord, help me. Yeah, and draw closer to God. Believe his word and speak it, because we confess what we believe with our heart. And there's power in it. That's when it becomes that spiritual sword. And God is faithful to provide victory for us, because our victory comes from him. And his victory has already been accomplished. The devil is a defeated foe. Thank God. And we can consider ourselves dead to sin. And the Bible says that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. But the path of the just shall grow brighter and brighter. And so in the midst of darkness, we can still shine. But Jesus said some people hate the darkness because their deeds are evil. And we're not promised that we will be shielded from all persecution. In fact, the Bible assures us that if we follow Jesus, we will face persecution. But God is faithful. And we can just, let's keep doing good. You know, 1 Peter 2, I think is verse 20 or somewhere around, maybe 16, 1 Peter 2:16, I'm not sure. It says, by doing good, we can put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So if we suffer for doing what's right, let's just keep doing what's right and entrust ourselves to a faithful and powerful Creator. And on those times when we do fall and we do sin, let's be quick to repent, make it right, agree with God, confess, and receive God's forgiveness and stay close to Him. God is faithful. Aren't you glad? And as God is faithful, all of His promises are yes and amen to the glory of God. I just want to encourage you today. I asked earlier if maybe you had a need in your past and you came to know God as faithful to His word and to Himself and to you. Maybe today there's someone right now here, or maybe someone listening or watching, and there is a need. You have a pressing need. It's an urgent need. It's heavy in your heart. And I would just ask, do you have a need today that you can claim a promise of God's faithfulness in Christ to you? And if so, I want to pray with you and I want to encourage you. Look to the Lord, look to His word, and grab a hold of one of His promises. That way you've got a sure foundation. It's not just wishful thinking. You have the assurance of God's settled word behind you. God will be faithful. All eternity will prove it true. Even in the past, God's word has been proven true. Prophecies that have come true over the years regarding nations and people and Messiah, they've been fulfilled, and God is going to continue to fulfill His word until we meet Him face to face. God is faithful. If you have a need today, I want to encourage you to just look to Him, and I want to pray with you. So could we just bow our heads in prayer and look to the Lord? If you just close your eyes, those of you joining online, I'd like to pray with you as well. If you have a need today, first I want to ask you to just take a moment between you and the Lord and look to Him and just pour your heart out to Him and just tell Him, Lord, I know You're faithful, I believe You, but Lord, help me. Show me Your promise that relates to this need. And Father, I pray right now for each one who's experienced in that place. This may be a season in their life. I believe this is going to be opportunity. Lord, I believe You just quickened my heart that this is going to draw us closer to You. This is going to draw us closer to You. It's going to help us to grow more like You. And Lord, it's going to be a testimony to others through this. And I thank You for it. You're faithful. And I give You praise for that today. So can we just stand together right now?